at some point I met this girl. She was in high school at the time. She was called Ruth. And Ruth had great dreams. She wanted to be a nurse. She wanted to make a change for herself. She wanted to ensure her mother was well taken care of. And when she finished high school, she didn't have money to join university. She had gotten the grades, but she had no money at all.
This is Cynthia Yongesa, a storyteller and education advocate from Kenya. A few years ago, Cynthia met Ruth, a young Kenyan girl who wanted to be a nurse but could not afford the tuition fee. And Cynthia decided to do something about it.
So I wrote her story and I used that story to look for funding. And looking for funding was extremely difficult because nursing is quite an expensive program.
But despite the difficulty and expensive tuition, Cynthia and others helped Ruth to get into nursing school.
Through loans, through the support of her mother, the support of her friends, and she actually managed to finish school. But I remember she asked me to go meet her mother. And when I went to meet her mother in Nairobi, her mother said, "Every day I pray for you, Cynthia. I always remember the girl who gave my daughter transport to go to school. And I never forget that."
So by telling the story of Ruth, Cynthia helped her to fulfill her dreams of being a nurse. And Cynthia has done this for many other young people across Kenya. So how did this start? And importantly, how is Cynthia using storytelling to meet people at the point of their needs? Welcome to the Climb Podcast, where we tell extraordinary stories of the African youth.
My name is Cynthia Nafula Nyongesa. I am a 27-year-old Kenyan lawyer, soon to be advocate of the High Court of Kenya. I'm currently taking my Master of Laws degree at the University of Cape Town. I am a Mandela Rhodes Scholar, so this is an excellent scholarship for young leaders in Africa to come study in South Africa, but also get to be a part of Nelson Mandela's legacy of education, leadership, reconciliation, and entrepreneurship. Over the last 9 years, I have been working in the advocacy space, particularly focusing on education. So I started my own digital platform called Cynthia Untamed, and I've been using this platform over the years to advocate for the power of education and how it contributes to development.
For almost a decade, 27-year-old Cynthia Yongesa has been using the power of storytelling and public advocacy to get opportunities and access to education to hundreds of young Kenyans. Her blog, Cynthia Untamed, has featured the stories of numerous young Kenyans, getting them the funding and opportunities they need to live their dreams. So how did all this start? Cynthia tells me that her motivation lies in the economic disparity she witnessed growing up.
Well, I was born in Kericho County. This is one of the highland regions of the country. So it's quite green, healthy, very fertile. And this is where most of the tea in Kenya comes from. So if you see any tea in the UK or anywhere across the world, it comes from this place where I was born. But my ancestral home is in the western part of the country. I grew up in different parts of Kenya, from Kericho to Nyeri, Nairobi, and Kiambu County regions. This is because my parents were working for the government, so they often shifted jobs and location every few years. But the most interesting thing I think about my childhood is how my parents emphasized on the power of education. Education while I was growing up was quite diverse and quite different for many people. I had the privilege of attending different kinds of schools. So I attended private schools as well as public schools, and I got to see the difference that made in people's lives. So, for example, when I was in a private school, I had access to everything. I had access to committed teachers who were billed. If they made a mistake, if they didn't do things right, then they would easily get fired. And this ensured that we were always completing the syllabus on time. In fact, for a long time, we would cover the syllabus twice. But I would also see children, particularly when I was in public schools, struggling to access the same opportunities. In as much as I was in a public school at some point in my life, I realized that I had more opportunities even in that public school compared to children who are from disadvantaged backgrounds. So when I was in a public school, for example, the government would provide textbooks for children, but the textbooks were not enough. So we had to share the textbooks. At a time when we were taking about 5 or 6 subjects, it meant that my deskmate and I could only be given 3 or 2 textbooks each. And that meant that there was a deficit in terms of the textbook allocation. So if I had a maths and English textbook, then it meant that I wasn't going to get a Kiswahili and science textbook from the government. And my parents would accommodate for this deficit because I'd go home and I'd say, these are the 2 textbooks I got from the school. So these are the other textbooks that I need you to buy. And they would buy that. But my fellow classmates who are from disadvantaged backgrounds in public schools did not have that kind of opportunity. So that meant that they would have to borrow my textbooks and do homework before they went home. If assignments were given on a Friday and they were due on a Monday, then maybe they'd have to come very early on Monday to do some of the assignments from children like me who had extra textbooks. So seeing that kind of disparity from a very young age was actually quite sad. It was quite sad.
Growing up to witness this economic disparity in our society, and especially how it affected access to education for children, had a profound effect on Cynthia. An effect so profound, it influenced the next step she took in life.
Well, having seen some of these challenges when I was much younger, I would say when I was much, much younger, I really did not put much thought into this. And now, as I look back, I realize that those experiences did shape me, because now when I went to high school, I joined a national girls' school in Kenya. It's one of the best schools in Kenya, called Alliance Girls High School. And it was at that point where I was struggling with my academics that I had the turnaround moment, because I was having a conversation with the deputy principal of our school, who was very passionate about girls' education. This is a teacher who had ensured that girls were admitted to the school, access to the school, because some of these girls were at risk of being married off. If nobody followed up on their education, then they would be married off, yet these were the brightest children in school. And as I was talking to her about my struggles in academics, she gave me this book called Life Journey, Seeking Destiny, Conversations with High Achieving Women in Kenya. And it's authored by Susan Wahungu Githuku. And as I read that book, constantly, I would go to her office every week to go read that book. She challenged me one day and told me, one day you should go and look for some of the women in the book and try and emulate some of them. So the first step I made was to reach out to some of the women I had read in the book. I had not met them in person. I did not know any of them. I did not come from any of their families. So I just searched online and looked for their profiles. I got some of their contacts. Eventually, some of them did become my mentors at some point in life. And it was actually during this period when I was in my first year, I was just about 19 years old, that I was having a conversation with a youth fund ambassador from our local village. And he was describing to me the challenges that young people face. And it was at this point that I actually sat down and started reflecting and thinking back and wondering what I could do differently. So I reached out to one of my mentors and I told her this experience. And I was like, you really need to do something for my community because you're famous, you're well known. And she told me that when she had interviewed the late Professor Wangari Maathai, who's a Nobel Prize winner from Kenya, she had asked her, what will you do for your country? And Professor Wangari Maathai told her, don't ask me what I will do for my country. Ask yourself what you will do for your country. And so my mentor passed on the same challenge to me. And I decided to take it up.
So at the age of 19, Cynthia took up the challenge of doing something about the problems she had witnessed in her community. She started speaking to organizations, volunteering with charities, and seeking opportunities that would enable her to help others. And finally, her big break emerged when she discovered and took part in the World Bank Kenya Blog for Development competition.
I came across the World Bank Kenya Blog for Development competition, and basically this was a challenge that was enabling young people to talk about development issues in Kenya. And the competition had been running in Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, different parts of the continent, and now it has spread out to all the states in Africa. And so I participated in the competition in 2016, and that year the question was, how will you create opportunities for young people in your country? And so for me, because I'd really benefited from mentorship, I wrote an essay on mentorship. I managed to get to one of the top 10 finalists who were interviewed, and I did not win the competition. And I remember I was very discouraged at that point in life because I did not understand how I had great ideas, but somehow these ideas had not been picked up quite positively. But then I realized, oh, wait, this shouldn't really be a moment of discouragement. I should actually see this as an opportunity to improve, to understand issues better, to read a bit more widely, to do a bit more research. And because of this competition, I actually managed to get access to World Bank Kenya. And so the competition turned out not to just be about winning, but it turned out to be an opportunity to network and have access to professional mentors. And so it was actually at this point when I was interacting with World Bank Kenya that the country director at the time, Dr. Tugaye, and the communication officer called Kezia Muthembwa, encouraged me to start a platform or an initiative of my own that could actually make a significant impact on young people. And so I started looking at the resources that I had at the time. I did not have a lot of money. I was just a university student. I did not have really big networks, but I could write, I could speak, and I was also a law student. That meant that I was also being equipped with research skills at the time. And it was also at this point that blogging was really picking up in Kenya. And so I decided to start a blog at the time called Cynthia Untamed, and now it has evolved into a video platform. And so I would look for young people who are doing amazing work in their communities, and I would tell their stories. And these were young people who are not famous. These were young people who nobody really knew, and I would tell their stories. And initially, the idea was just to tell their stories and for them to get visibility, until it evolved into something else, because now it was not just about telling their stories, but by telling their stories, they started getting opportunities.
So just as she has always envisioned, Cynthia was now in a position to help others live their dreams. With her blog, Cynthia Untamed, she was helping and getting life-changing opportunities to those who needed it. And the results of her work were numerous.
One time, one of the ladies I interviewed and featured came back to me and told me, you know, after you wrote my story, so many other media houses came to me and said they wanted to amplify my stories. So her work on education empowerment in urban informal settlements was later featured in local newspapers. And because of that, her organization kept picking up. And at some point, she also won some funding with the MasterCard Foundation to run a library in urban informal settlements in Nairobi. One of them is in Kibera. One of the other people that I interviewed actually managed to get a scholarship at the African Leadership Academy. And she told me that because of writing her story, she was able to use this application to apply to the African Leadership Academy. And it was now seeing how amplifying the stories of change makers kept bringing opportunities for them that kept me going. I would say in terms of how it has been challenging and exciting at the same time.
As Cynthia's blog continued to grow with the impact felt by so many, Cynthia started gaining access to development organizations and foreign embassies in Kenya. And during one of these embassy visits, Cynthia met a young girl who would become the subject of one of the most impactful stories she ever wrote.
So I started getting access to embassies and other organizations in Kenya. Particularly the Canadian High Commission in Kenya invited me for a Girls Day event that was in partnership with Plan International. And the idea was to interact with young girls who were ambitious and were looking for opportunities. So I remember at some point I met this girl. She was in high school at the time. She was called Ruth. And Ruth had great dreams. She wanted to be a nurse. She wanted to make a change for herself. She wanted to ensure her mother was well taken care of. And when she finished high school, she didn't have money to join university. She had gotten the grades, but she had no money at all. So I wrote her story, and I used that story to look for funding. And looking for funding was extremely difficult because nursing is quite an expensive program. And I remember that is when I discovered online fundraising platforms. At the time, I was using Mchanga, and I would ask people, contribute as little as you can, as much as you can. And I remember at the time, I was only able to raise $50 because it was just about 5,000 Kenya shillings. And out of raising the $50, I was actually feeling a bit disheartened until someone reached out to me online and said, hey, Cynthia, I saw your campaign. What do you need? And so I actually met this person because they had just flown in from Korea, South Korea, and they wanted to understand how they could help her. And I told the person that she really needs textbooks and uniforms. And the person said, okay, I can contribute to her textbooks. The textbooks are very, very expensive. And in as much as the $50 could not buy even one textbook, this person bought her the core textbooks that she needed. And that was actually a way that enabled her to keep moving forward because her mother was also looking for some sources of funding. At some point, she did not even have transport to go to the school, but the $50 came through because that is how she managed to go to school. Eventually, she found her way through loans, through the support of her mother, the support of her friends, and she actually managed to finish school. But I remember she asked me to go meet her mother. And when I went to meet her mother in Nairobi, her mother said, every day I pray for you, Cynthia. I always remember the girl who gave my daughter transport to go to school. And I never forget that. And just realizing that even the opportunities I was getting was because I was actually doing my best to enable other young people to access opportunities was actually encouraging. And in as much as I was not raising billions and billions of dollars at the time, I was like, okay, I'm heading in the right direction. And if I keep this up, then at some point, I will keep reaching out to more people one way or another.
Speaking to Cynthia had been a most remarkable experience for me, and I was profoundly inspired. You see, what Cynthia is doing is exactly what we set out to do here with the Climb Podcast, telling the extraordinary stories of youth across Africa so they can get the opportunities they need to do greater work for the continent, while also inspiring other young Africans. Now, before I let Cynthia go, I asked her what she would say to other young Africans looking to become changemakers in their own communities.
I would say the first thing you need to do is identify the resource that you have at hand. In my case, I asked myself, what skills do I have? Public speaking and writing. What space is available? The internet. And I took it up because the internet was generally free. I forgot to mention that I would blog and write these things when I was in school because that is where there was Wi-Fi. There was no Wi-Fi at home. So I would use the Wi-Fi in schools. So those are the resources that I had. So for you as a young person, sit down and reflect and ask yourself, what resource do I have? What skill do I have? What challenge am I seeing? And then how can I make a difference? And I think the challenge with young people and what discourages them is that they always imagine that they must impact 2,000 people at once. No, just start with one person. If today you impact one person, if you sponsor one person to school, the next year you'll have more money to take two to school. Then the next year you have three to take to school, and it keeps growing. The more you grow, the more you're exposed to opportunities, the more you have a larger impact. But I would also encourage young people to also have a plan. Do things systematically. Don't just wake up and start saying you're now making a change in the society. Sit down and ask yourself, what is going on in my country? What is the context of my country? And what is the context of the globe? So for example, in my case, I sat down and I looked at the country and I looked at the vision of our government. We have the Vision 2030, that is to ensure Kenya is fully developed by 2030. And then we had the Sustainable Development Goals, which is the global agenda. And so I made sure in all my actions and in all the activities I was a part of, they were either contributing to the Vision 2030 or in one way or another contributing to the SDGs. In your country, you may have a different strategy. In your community, maybe in your village, you also have a village strategy. Ask yourself how your actions feed into the larger strategy. Because I think where the disconnect happens with young people is you're just doing things without a system. So even in terms of documentation, you're not able to align your work to a particular vision. Your personal vision, your organizational vision, and your community vision and national and global vision at the same time. So I'd say think in terms of those contexts and then take one step at a time. These things will not happen in one day. You'll not make an impact in one day. You'll make an impact in the course of different years. So for example, I have been in this space for about 9 years. It's not even a decade. So I'm still young in this system. So I keep doing my best each day.
This episode of the Climb Podcast was hosted and edited by Jewel Etedo-Bright. Special thanks to Cynthia Yongesa for allowing us to tell her story. The Climb Podcast is a podcast collaboration between the Channels Media Group and the Firoz Lalji Institute for Africa at the London School of Economics and Political Science. Thank you for listening.